Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Watkins et al. Titled, Paternal Low Protein Diet Affects Adult Offspring Cardiovascular and Metabolic Function in Mice. This article published online March 21st, 2014. My guests today are consulting editor Stephen Jones, lead author Adam Watkins, and expert Christopher Torrens. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. So the whole idea of whether or not what you eat during pregnancy is one that's many people recognize being championed by Dr. David Barker decades ago, and of course many others, which led to what is now commonly known, even in the lay public, as the fetal origins hypothesis. And actually this has become widely accepted that in fact the diet of a mother can significantly affect the embryologic development, and most importantly, have significant imprinting effects later on in life in terms of chronic diseases such as cardiovascular disease. What we have today is a discussion about a study which is actually quite remarkable. And you know, when I read this, I was thinking, why hadn't someone thought of this before? And this group, led by Adam Watkins, studied the role of paternal diet, if you will, and specifically the contribution of protein intake on the preconception period, and what effect that would have on the offspring. So, Adam, why study the paternal influence in the first place?
Well, as you said, Steve, in your introduction, our understanding of the role of maternal nutrition during early pregnancy and its effect on offspring cardiovascular and metabolic health has been very well characterized. Unfortunately, our understanding of the role of paternal nutrition during early conception remains largely underinvestigated. And so we saw this as an ideal opportunity to extend the well-characterized rodent maternal low-protein diet model into the paternal side and look similarly at the offspring's cardiovascular and metabolic health in adulthood.
Yeah, so it's a fascinating study, and you know, a couple of the findings related to specifically the blood pressure alterations that you saw in the male mice, but interestingly, you did not see that in the female mice. Why is that?
To be honest, we don't know. Many of these developmental origin studies show sex-specific effects, and a lot of the studies show that the male sex tends to be more susceptible to cardiovascular and metabolic programming. Why we see that in our case, we don't know. Whether there are differences between the X and the Y-bearing sperm and whether they impart different characteristics onto the offspring, depending on whether they're male or female, we don't know. And this would be a very interesting subject for future studies.
So, Adam, you know, one of the things that people may argue, particularly when they look at your data showing that the body weight is actually less in the low-protein diet males leading up to the conceptus period. I mean, what about if it's just a caloric restriction? I mean, would you see the same thing, or is it specifically the restriction in the protein composition per se?
I think some of the effects on paternal body weight specifically may be attributable to the low-protein diet. Indeed, there are other groups who have looked at effects of paternal high-fat diet and paternal obesity. And again, these have negative impacts on sperm quality, sperm function. And there are studies now emerging showing that paternal obesity can also influence long-term offspring cardiovascular and metabolic health similarly.
What are we left with here as a reader, you know, and as a relative outsider to the area? Is it now that the paternal influence is more important or just as important as the maternal influence?
Again, another very good question. At the moment, I'm unaware of many studies looking at both paternal and maternal nutritional influences in the single study. They've often focused solely on one of the genders, one of the parental genders. So I think it would be very interesting to look at the combined influences and also to see whether there's a combined effect if both parents are on the same suboptimal diet. Does that compound the effects and you get a much stronger influence on offspring phenotype? Or do they somehow match each other? Are the sperm and the egg equally altered in response to parental diet such that actually the offspring you get may turn out perfectly healthy?
So, Chris, I'm interested to hear from you.
I think the key thing there really is that this has been looked at for many, many years, looking at maternal effects and really the significance of the paternal effect has been largely ignored. There's one or two things coming out recently, which, you know, it's starting to pick up, but in terms of, you know, describing a phenotype, it's just not there. So no one's crossed that boundary yet. And I think we might get hung up on the hows and the whys of how it can happen, but I think it's important to demonstrate what does happen and then start to think about a mechanism having demonstrated an actual change in phenotype, which is why I thought the paper was very important in that respect.
Gentlemen, going forward, I'd like to hear from both of you. What needs to be done next with these types of studies in terms of nailing down what is going on with paternal influence and what other factors could be important from the paternal side and also synergistically between effects on the paternal and maternal side, how these may come together, and they may not simply be additive. They may be actually synergistic and make things that much worse. Your thoughts?
I think from my point of view, and one of the criticisms that was brought up by two or three of the reviewers, was that we need to understand now what is the programming mechanism. We know what the long-term consequences are for the offspring, and we're beginning to understand what we're doing to the sperm, but how does that information then transfer into the offspring and program? And I think epigenetics and our ability to perform next-generation sequencing of the entire genome and the epigenome will begin to unlock a lot of secrets and show us exactly how a sperm can alter long-term offspring health and gene expression and tissue function. And I think that will be one of the next key stages in these kind of studies, both from a maternal and a paternal point of view.
I'd agree with that. I think there's always, for me, kind of two problems here. There's a need to explain what you see in the sense of, you know, Adam's got some nice data there. He's shown impaired responses in his arteries following this diet. But the question then is what's driving those actual changes? Are there changes in cyclic nucleotides in the smooth muscle? It's very difficult to sort of see that level of control. And then you have the other aspect of how on earth does altering paternal diet lead to that change in that specific tissue that he's looked at? And I think trying to combine those two is really the holy grail here of what you're looking to do. It's partly to explain the phenotype you see and then come up with a plausible, testable hypothesis of why altering paternal diet can affect that.
What's quite nice that we can do in the mouse is also look at the interaction between the adiposity, the cardiovascular system, the metabolic profile of those animals, and see how they all integrate. None of them develop in isolation and none of them work in isolation. And so I think with something like the study that we've done here, we're beginning to really understand how the vasculature may be influenced by the metabolic profile, which may be influenced by the adiposity, which then may be influenced by other systems. And we can really begin to integrate all of these into a single organism and really understand how they all connect up.
Would you care to provide any potential ideas in terms of an evolutionary perspective? I mean, why might this be that the offspring would be so susceptible to the paternal conditions prior to conception?
There's potentially a couple of ways. One of the things that we alluded to in the paper is that the seminal fluid in which the sperm are transferred may interact with the maternal environment, signaling that perhaps this sperm is of sub-quality, and therefore embryos are, particularly male embryos, which are generally weaker, are selected against. And so you have fewer male embryos, but those male embryos that you do get go on to develop these cardiovascular and metabolic disorders. So from an evolutionary perspective, it's possibly better to have females because they're stronger and not have so many males. And there are studies that have shown similar things when you manipulate the maternal environment, whether then offspring reproductive function is altered similarly and these phenotypes are then transferred to the F2 generation, the F3 generation, the F4 generation, again, is something that we don't know and something we will have to look at in future studies.
I think one of the things that is relatively difficult to do to take this into humans would be that in mice you can kind of separate them, but humans who are of that way of making babies tend to live together and tend to maybe eat similar things. So trying to have that kind of combination of diets, you might tend to get a sort of very similar maternal and paternal diet at the time of conception. could be quite difficult to try and split the two when you take it into humans. I suppose that's why we use mice, to try and demonstrate the principle.
As always, when we do good studies, they lead to more questions than they necessarily answer. And I think this is a prime example in the beautiful blending of in vivo integrative physiology and a bit of developmental biology as well, to yield a truly foundational insight into how parental input, in this case specifically paternal input, in the preconception period, can actually affect long-term lasting changes in the offspring.
Thank you for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.